This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
So hello and welcome to Triple Captain. We are back once more for all your Game Week 16 tips and advice. My name's Rich Wolfenden, football commentator, FPL dude, we'll go with that, why not? joined by my co-host, also an FPL dude, Luke Jurdy. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, Rich. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back.
Are you an FPL dude?
I am an FPL dude.
If yeah, you got your cap
one.
On backwards.
Caps
as
on
well.
Backwards. You know, I've just had a shower.
Oh, fresh.
Just feeling fresh. Feeling absolutely fresh.
Nice.
And glad to be back, mate. I've missed the last two. I'm pleased to be back chatting to you about FPL after another pretty kind of strange-ish game week, wasn't it? I mean, how did you get on? We're Triple Captain, by the way. We're at FPL Triple Cap on socials, and I'm at Luke Jurdy on socials, and Rich is at Wolfenden, I think, on socials.
Yeah. _ Wolfenden. @Wolfenden. At Wolfenden is taken by someone who hasn't tweeted since 2011, and it really grinds my gears.
Outrageous.
I can't have at Wolfenden. They're not on Twitter anymore. Anyway, @ Wolfenden. And I give @Wolfenden a lot of shit on @_Wolfenden, so follow that. But yeah, no, weird game week. It's been a weird couple of weeks, really, because there's been so much football going on. And again, there's Champions League midweek. Like, it's just constant football at the moment. And that, like, back-to-back football, I think, has affected me. Well, it definitely has affected my performance and focus on FPL. So I had another red arrow. I've had four consecutive red arrows. Shocking form. Absolutely shocking form. Thankfully, the drop's not been too significant. From where I was 4 weeks ago, I've dropped about 200,000 places. So it could have been a lot worse. But it's still, you know, not great on average, dropping 50,000 places in the overall ranks every week. And this week was my worst of the season, just to, you know, have the cherry on top. Overall, I finished on 41 points. So below the average. I think that's the second week on the bounce I finished below the average. Last week being the first time I'd have finished below the average all season. So that's frustrating. And there's just a lot of dross, really. Chelsea doubled up on their defence and they go to the London Stadium and just absolutely capitulate, which is very, very strange. I mean, Mendy, what he's doing for giving away that penalty. How that Masuaku goal went in. It's strange goings on. You don't expect that from Chelsea. So James got me a zero. Thankfully, I had Thiago Silva, who scored the first goal of the game. So decided to leave him in this week, which was a good decision. So he got a nice big 8 points with his bonus as well. Jesus didn't start. And when he did come on, he got an injury. So he got me 1 point. Gallagher 2, Mane 3. Dennis had to come off the bench because Smith Rowe just wasn't in the Arsenal team for some reason. So that was a substitution which didn't work there. But the biggest disappointment was, you know what, last week, dead excited, going to get on the Tottenham bandwagon. They're going to do really well this weekend. You know, they've got a reasonable fixture, Norwich at home. You'd expect them to win that. And they did. But my guy, Reguilon, off in the 27th minute, but on the 15th minute got a yellow card. So he finished on a nice fat zero, and 1 week after transferring him in, I might well have to transfer him out. So we'll see what happens there. Captain was Salah, got that assist at the end, so he got me 12 points, which saved me a little bit from having an absolute disaster of a game week. And yeah, very, very disappointing. So 275k overall. Frustrating, but you know, time to bounce back over Christmas. How about you? How did you get on, mate?
Yeah, plenty of time, mate. And I think we always said, didn't we, that if you're in top 500k by Christmas, you've got a good chance. So you're well in.
Yeah,
you're well
exactly.
In top 500k. And all it takes is a couple of good game weeks and you can be right back up there. But yeah, I had a horrible Saturday and then a quite brilliant Sunday. I was 29 points on Saturday, including my captain, with four players left to play, and then finished on 54. After Monday night's fixtures. I thought it was a Ramsdale one-pointer, but he got a save point, so he ended up on two, which was brilliant. Every point counts.
Yeah,
Son was the hero for me. I went Son over Kane on my wild card way back in game week. Can't remember when it was, probably six or seven game weeks ago. And finally, Son has paid off with a big 13-pointer. made such a difference.
Yeah, that's huge.
Made such
best performance of the season, isn't it, from Son?
Yeah, I think I'm not sure, but yeah, it was great to see him score as well as get an assist, and obviously Kane blanking as well worked in my favour massively. I didn't have any City midfielders, so after that Saturday night, I was feeling pretty glum seeing Bernardo Silva scoring two, Foden got an assist, Gundogan got an assist, Cancelo conceded a goal, so he only got 2 points. After that Saturday night, I was like, oh no, because I went for five at the back. For the first time this season, James and Alonso, we all know what happened there. Livramento conceding that goal in the 98th minute. I think he went from 7 points to two. And then Cancelo, no clean sheet from him. Alexander Arnold, 9 points. Great, but everybody owns him, so it makes no difference.
Yeah.
And then I got Antonio off the bench because Ivan Toney wasn't in the team. So an extra 5 points there for me, which was great. So I'm tickling top 40K. I'm 41K now, or maybe 42K. So I'm really, really pleased with that. And I've got two free transfers to play with going into game week 16, which I'm really, really happy about because of the latest news from the Spurs camp that seven first team players have tested positive for COVID. So
seven now, is it?
Yeah. Apparently one of those is Son. So I was kind of umming and ahhing over transferring him out this week anyway, because I don't think Brighton away is a good fixture. And it looks like that fixture will probably be called off now because Premier League work on a case-by-case basis. And I think Spurs, they're bound to ask for a postponement, aren't they? If Son's not fit, I think Lucas is apparently another one that's tested positive for COVID. I think there are a few others, but they wouldn't be FPL options. So you don't need to worry too much about them. But it looks like it will be postponed anyway. So I guess if we kick off with who to drop this week rather than who to pick, then we can discuss Spurs assets to start with. So these are our picks this week of who to drop.
Right, so who to drop this week? I mean, obviously Spurs players are top of that list. So for me, I've only got one free transfer. So Reguilon's going to have to go. Thankfully, I've got £1.5 million in the bank. So I've got pretty much access to any player who I want to play in defence, because I've already got Cancelo and Alexander Arnold.
Could you bench Reguilon, Rich, potentially? And then, because obviously Spurs will have a double game week. And because
that
they
is
had... remember, their Burnley fixture was off as well because of weather a few weeks ago. So, that might be two double game weeks coming up. So, is it worth maybe holding on to a player like Reguilon?
Yeah, that could be a shout, actually, because the European games stop in January, don't they? So, they're probably going to try and squeeze in at least one extra Spurs fixture in the beginning of January. So, maybe I could keep hold of him. I brought him in just before he went up in value, or I think he went up in value anyway. Either way, I'm just going to have to keep an eye on his transfers out, just because I don't really want to lose any value on him. I've got Smith Rowe on the bench, though, at the moment. I've got three yellow triangles, so I'd like to keep him maybe for that future double game week, but the risk of having 10 players playing.
No, you don't want that.
It's too much to do so. So I'm just considering other defensive options. So, like you, played five defenders, James, Reguilon, Thiago Silva, Cancelo, Alexander Arnold. I don't know who the next pick could be for defence. I've already got triple Liverpool. I've already got triple Manchester City. And do I really want to go triple Chelsea defence? That's a big ask for them to get a clean sheet. There's a lot of weight on the back of Chelsea, who have been, you know, stumbling a little bit of late with their form. So, what do you think? Triple Chelsea?
I certainly wouldn't go triple Chelsea. They looked vulnerable at the back against West Ham. And as we've seen, all it takes is one silly mistake and the clean sheet's gone, isn't it? I mean, it happened against United with the Jorginho mistake, and it happened against West Ham. Although, of course, West Ham ended up scoring three goals. But two of them were you know, quite due to mistakes, really. I mean, Mendy should have saved the Masuaku one. And the first one was obviously the Bowen penalty, which was a mistake again because it was a dodgy back pass. And then Mendy just took him out. So I think having triple defence of any team is just a horrible watch. Just praying for that clean sheet. So I just don't think it's worth it. I mean, really, if I was getting rid of Reguilon, I'd probably just go for like a 4.4 defender and use the money elsewhere. I don't think there's anyone really premium wise defense standing out. Although I think it'd be too early to do this, but there's a lot of talk about Diogo Dalo at United because Ranić likes to play. I mean, well, this is from one game, of course, but he played a 4-2-2-2 against Palace. So it was quite narrow, which means that he relies on the fullbacks to bomb forward quite often. And Dalo has looked really good in the last couple of weeks. And if it's him or Wan-Bissaka in terms of attacking fullback, Dalo is a better option. But obviously you've got Wan-Bissaka there to come back in. And I can't see Dalo nailing down a first team spot when you've got Wan-Bissaka there, and who knows, Rangnick might be able to turn Wan-Bissaka into a more attacking fullback, but worth keeping an eye on at 4.4 million.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the Manchester United fixtures are great, they've got the new manager, you'd like to think their form will turn around, and you know that game at the weekend shows the signs of that. Are they're playing midweek?
Yeah, playing Young Boys tomorrow, but they're already through. They're already through as group winners, so it will be a heavily rotated team, which is probably good news for those considering Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, talking about who to drop, it's an easy switch from Kane to Ronaldo, isn't it? If you own Harry Kane, I mean, you've got to cut your losses with him, surely.
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's not played well all season. He's played well for England, but that was against Albania and San Marino. Like, you know, if he was playing for Tottenham against Scunthorpe and Shrewsbury, you know, he'd probably do well against them, but that's not the case. So yeah, Kane's never been a standout option. Stats haven't backed it up this season. It's what we talked about a few weeks ago. It's just hunch. Yeah. And that's all it was. And that's what it was that was keeping Son in your team. And he did finally deliver, but the stats still don't necessarily show him as a great value player.
No.
So yeah, I'd be jumping across to Ronaldo if I had the money. And I'm kind of regretting taking him out now, especially because it looks like Jesus is going to be injured. Whether he's injured for the weekend, he's already been confirmed that he's going to be missing the midweek games, Guardiola said in his press conference. Whether he misses the weekend, I could be in a bit of a sticky situation, you know, if these three players don't get a kick. I have to take a hit, and I haven't taken a hit for about 6 weeks now. But that has coincided with my drop in form in the overall table, so maybe I do need to just, you know, pull the trigger and take a -4. But yeah, just in terms of other players who I'm looking to move on, I'm starting to think Aaron Ramsdale, you know. I know the goalkeepers tend to all sort of finish in the same sort of area. But, you know, Arsenal have had their good fixtures. They did well in those good fixtures. They're now coming into a trickier run of form. What do you think about Ramsdale? Or Arsenal defenders in any fact, because a lot of people have White out there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really pleased with Ramsdale. I don't see any reason to get rid of him. I've made a little bit of money on him as well, and he continues to get save points. I mean, yesterday they were incredibly poor, but I think Arsenal are a little bit hit and miss. And sometimes you're going to get a clean sheet and Ramsdale's likely to get save points and bonus. Other times he's going to get 2 points.
Yeah, at home to Southampton this week.
That's not a bad fixture for them. No. I mean, I'd be tempted to play Broja now. I think he's bound to keep his spot. Yeah, he's played so well every time he's started. He's done really well. So I mean, I'd be tempted to even play him against Arsenal, particularly after how they were against Everton. But I don't think you need to move Ramsdale on. And really, if you've got Ben White, you just hold him and bench him, don't you? I mean, if
that's it.
Unless you've got a luxury move and there's nothing else in your team that needs doing. But I feel like at the moment, there's the fixture swings are coming. So United are going into great fixtures. West Ham are going into great fixtures. We all want Man City attackers now, surely, for their run and the way that some of their players are playing. So it's one of those moments in the season where fixtures are really swinging and there's big moves to be made now. And I think the template will start to disperse a little bit, especially because Salah's returned, obviously. Still, Salah is king, but he's not kind of, particularly in that Wolves fixture. Again, I'm saying that he scored 2 goals the week before, didn't he? But I've got a feeling people are going to start to consider captaining other players, particularly as Ronaldo plays Norwich this weekend. So I think you hold your Ben Whites and your Ramsdales for now, unless your team is so well set up or you're on a wild card.
Yeah,
then,
fair enough.
Then I'd consider it.
Just a reminder for anyone who listened to last week's podcast where Ben went with Harry Kane. The new catchphrase: refrain from Kane. refrain from Kane. Do not put the captain's armband on anybody else. Go with Mo.
Well, I mean, unless you're Cobra, who captain Bernardo Silva.
Oh, yeah. This weekend. I couldn't believe that.
Incredible.
That was a shout. Incredible. He's done some unbelievable business this season, our Cobra.
I think he's about in the top 5K.
it's absolutely sick. Listens to this podcast. Of course, gets all of his advice.
What a
from
season
this.
From him.
Yeah.
The only other one from who to drop for me is Rafinha. Leeds are going into really difficult fixtures now. Although they have got Bamford back, that should improve their form. Mm. I think when there's players out there like Jared Bowen going into really good fixtures for a tiny bit less money than Rafinha, I think it's a fairly easy switch. So I'm looking to drop Rafinha in the next few weeks, possibly this week.
Hey lads, sorry I'm late.
All right, Ben.
Here he is.
How are you?
Very, very well.
We are talking through who to drop at the moment, and obviously we've chosen your man Harry Kane. Get rid of him ASAP, particularly with Spurs' fixture. Yeah. Fixture looks like it's going to be called off. But you've got Bernardo Silva and Mason Mount, haven't you, mate? So that was a good week for you.
I'm still doing rubbish. sorry I'm late, by the way. Apparently, I love FPL more than the kids is not a good enough excuse to shirk my responsibilities as a state. I forgot it was my week to drop Millie at dancing. But I have been thinking about Harry Kane all the way back because I've been thinking, who on earth do we replace him with? Lukaku's not getting 90 minutes yet. Ronaldo, I mean, he played 90 minutes, but he's not necessarily... There's lots of talk around Ronaldo. Like, there isn't a premium striker, is there, to replace Kane with at the moment? So I know that I've got two free transfers this week and I know that I need to drop Kane for sure. I've given him enough chances. I've captained him for 5 weeks now, I think. But, I mean, I've replaced him with Antonio, probably. But, I mean, what are you thinking?
I think you have to go Ronaldo. I mean, I've been looking at the stats and I think if you've got Kane already, it's and that's the way your team structure is set up, you got to go with Ronaldo. They're going into great fixtures, United. He still gets the shots. You know, it's Ronaldo. He played well against Palace. People talking about him not pressing and stuff. He was pressing against Palace and he looked great. He's super, super fit, as we all know. He might get rotated the odd game, but I can't see it really. And even if Ronaldo comes on, you're going to get points, you know, potentially anyway. So I think it's well worth putting him in. I mean, my team isn't set up to have a premium striker at the moment, but I'm seriously considering moving Son down to a 4.4 midfielder this week and bringing Ronaldo in.
Right.
But it means that I can't move for other players as quickly as I'd want to. But I think with Man City playing Wolves this week, I think it could be a game week where you could potentially wait on them. I hate to say that because it's City attack, but Wolves have been a bit of a bogey team for them. They kept Liverpool out for 94 minutes, maybe luckily, but their defence is pretty solid, isn't it? So if there's any week where City players might not explode, it's this week. So I'm thinking Ronaldo playing Norwich, he's likely to be rested. He's definitely going to be rested tomorrow in the Champions League. So he'll have a full week of rest. He'll definitely start against Norwich. So he's a captain option for me.
Love that. Okay, I'm convinced.
All right, so let's talk about who to pick for game week 16. This time of year, there's so much rotation, and I feel like if you're making a transfer, you've got to pick someone who's absolutely guaranteed to start. And I don't know who's guaranteed to start for any team at the moment. It's so hard. But everyone already has Liverpool assets. Everyone already has Manchester City assets and Chelsea assets in terms of attacking options, attacking and defensive options. But Liverpool seem the most nailed on. So I'd probably just keep hold of your Liverpool attacking assets if you had them. I haven't got anyone to pick this week apart from, say, keep the players you've picked already. So maybe...
Yeah, I mean, the thing.
Got no advice.
The thing with Liverpool assets is it's getting... You've got to hold them because they're playing really well. They're getting points. They're the best attack in the league. But you won't gain any ground if they score. I think something like 80% of players in the top, however many, own Salah, Jota and Trent. So I'm particularly Salah and Trent. I think you gain about 0.2 points every time Salah gets an attack in return.
Yeah.
Like, isn't the,
it's your airbag, isn't
you
it?
You don't gain anything. Exactly. It's your airbag. Exactly that. And same with Trent. But if you drop them and they score, you're absolutely screwed. So you have to keep them, but it's where you're going to make the ground on the other players in the game at the moment.
That's it.
I think we've got to focus on that. I haven't got any City attackers or Chelsea attackers at the moment. So obviously I'm looking at Bernardo Silva, I'm looking at Gundogan, I'm looking at Foden. And from Chelsea, I'd consider Mason Mount, but I think I prefer the value of Jared Bowen at West Ham. I think he's a definite contender. West Ham's fixtures are great. He looked absolutely quality against Chelsea. It's your guy, Rich. I bet you wish you'd just held on to him now.
I know. Well, he went quiet for about 3 weeks. Yeah. And it looked like the right decision to move him on.
Yeah.
But, you know, he got
to jump back on now, I think. Yeah, got to jump back on.
Now a king to pick on the FPL app.
Is he? Yeah. I've been calling him king a lot longer before the Budweiser people did.
You were there before it was fashionable, mate. Definitely.
Exactly.
You were there and we were like, what, Jared Bowen? Are you joking?
Yeah, the same thing happened with Mumford & Sons and now it's happening with Jared Bowen.
let's talk City briefly. Who are you going for, boys? Bernardo, Gundogan, Foden, anyone else or both? Or all three?
Yeah, it's so tough. I really want Bernardo Silva if I was to pick out of that list, Bernardo Silva would be top. You know, Pep Guardiola, he's an intelligent man. I know he's probably playing some mind games when he says this, but he says he's the best player in the Premier League at the moment. You know, obviously Salah's flying.
Salah is fantastic.
Yeah, he's the best attacking player at Manchester City right now. And Manchester City are top of the Premier League. So, you know, he's a contender for it. It's just historically, he's not delivered that many goals. And that's always just weighing in the back of my mind when it comes to the decision. Also, I'd love to have my third Manchester City player being Bernardo Silva, but I can't because Carson, my substitute goalkeeper, has taken off that Man City position. And I knew when I picked Carson that this could happen. And now I'm stuck with old Scotty Carson in goal, 48 years old or whatever it is.
He was 48 when he was at Villa, mate, so he must have gone even more than that.
He's the only granddad in the Premier League. but yeah, I'm stuck with my two outfield City assets, who I am quite happy with, fitness dependent, of Cancelo and Jesus. And Jesus, I think, is still not that highly owned. Yeah, 9.2. So we'll see what happens with him. But if I was to pick anybody, it would still be Bernardo Silva. But, you know, Wolves, they've had one of the best defensive records over the last few game weeks. So, like you said before, it's not going to be an easy game for Man City at home to Wolves. And it could end up being like, you know, when odd players pop up for City with goals where like Rodri will bang one in or like Kyle Walker will knock one in or something like that. And that's that tends to be what happens when plan A goes out the window a little bit. So it's a tough one to call. But yeah, Manchester City assets, attacking-wise, Bernardo Silva will be top of the list, especially for the price he is as well.
Yeah, I think you just got to bite the bullet with him now, haven't you? I mean, I worry that I've missed the boat and that he's going to go back to his old kind of form where he just wasn't he wasn't an FPL option. And if you look at his stats, I mean, I haven't looked at the stats after the Watford game, but prior to that, I think he'd had 7 shots on target and scored 6 goals. So, I mean, you can't keep that up. That is not sustainable. But
no,
he's in the form of his life. So do you jump on the train now? I mean, a similar thing, well, I say similar, the kind of similar thing happened with Benrahma, didn't it, at the start of the season? He was overperforming. He was scoring lots of goals. We brought him in and then he kind of fell off a cliff. But I can't see that happening with Bernardo Silva. He's, like you say, he's one of the best players in the Premier League right now. Pep completely trusts him. He's absolutely nailed on in that City squad, more so than Foden is right now. And Gundogan's appeal probably drops again because KDB is back and waiting to come back in the team. And whenever he's in the team, Gundogan doesn't perform as well. There's no point trying to spin this narrative that he does, because he doesn't in terms of FPL points. He obviously still performs very well because he plays for Man City. So I think I agree. Foden would be my other choice, but I think now I am leaning more towards Bernardo Silva. I'm not against a double up on them both either.
Ooh, they've got good fixtures.
I mean, it would mean that I would keep my structure and not have a premium striker and continue with like 5 across the midfield and a strong bench. But yeah, those two would be my options. I mean, dare I say it, Raheem Sterling I'd be interested in as well. He's just too pricey.
I was thinking that, you know. I was honestly thinking
he's just
Raheem
too
Sterling,
pricey. He's just too pricey.
Yeah.
Wait till he comes to Villa in January, boys. You heard that one on the grapevine.
Never going to happen.
Come on.
Yeah, mate, we've got money. We've got Stevie G at the wheel.
It's never going to happen.
I can see it happening.
Never going to happen.
Okay, right. Okay, I reckon it. Let's put a beer on it. An alcohol-free beer for me, please.
Okay.
The best player for England at
There's
at
no
the Euros
way Pep
is going to join...
No, he started the last five games for City. Pep's really put his faith back in him, and I think to be fair to Pep, he was keeping him back after that really, you know, tough Euros. He's rested him and he's come back fresh and he's firing again, isn't he? I mean, this is why the worry with like players like Jesus Rich, isn't it? Because it's like he was playing loads and now suddenly he's getting dropped again. And this is what happens with City players. They can spend ages out of the team and it's so frustrating owning them. And you think, well, I've got to hold him because of the fixtures and he might start. And if he does start, he could bang. And then you're just in this horrible like trap, aren't you, with them?
Yeah. It's because, you know what? I was stung by my own philosophy for FPL this season because I've just looked at the fixtures and I've seen... Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, top three in the Premier League, best defence in the Premier League, best attacks in the Premier League, are going to get their players in. And I have. And they've won. But my players haven't returned because they've been benched or they've just been a little bit unlucky. So on the last couple of podcasts, I've been saying you've got to have at least two from each of those top three teams. They've got to be the right two. Yeah. And I've not got the right to.
So it feels like we've moved on. So what you're saying is Sterling isn't coming to Villa Park. I think you're underestimating the draw with Birmingham as a place in general.
I don't know if he'll be able to get in ahead of, I don't know, El Ghazi. He's
good
probably going to start ahead of him. Yeah. Everton are getting Eden Hazard though. So, you know, we'll both have great attackers in January.
Now that one's definitely ridiculous.
Anyone interesting you from Villa, Ben? I know that I don't think the fixtures are amazing, are they? But Gerrard's doing a good job.
Yeah, they're not terrible, actually. And I think in terms of, I've been saying this literally since he joined the club, Ollie Watkins is on one at the moment. And he's returning FPL points as well. In terms of our fixtures, we have got, bear with me, Liverpool, obviously away at Anfield this weekend. Then we've got Norwich, Burnley, Chelsea, Leeds, Brentford, Man United, Everton. We've got a really lovely run from about, game week 23 onwards. We've got a really lots and lots of greens. I don't know. I feel like Ollie Watkins might be a good shout, you know, 7.5 million. I'd say if out of all of them, he's probably the one. And of course, if you might have already talked about this because it was one of the highlights of the week before I turned up late again. But Ezri Konsa's got an eye for goal. Surely you talked about Ezri. Oh,
we didn't.
Unbelievable.
Actually. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Two goals from Ezri Konsa.
I mean, the first goal was a brilliant touch off his stud's shadow to into the inside of the goal.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, Buendia basically, you know, got put back in from Massey Cash with his head. Buendia, stunning header. When you actually look at the one angle, you look at it and you think it would hit the post if Konsa hadn't got the slightest of slightest touches on it. So I actually think that is a Konsa goal, to be fair. Okay.
But calling it an eye for goal, that's... Is that what it is?
He got two goals. He got two goals. At one point, the commentator went, "Oh my God, Ezri Konsa is on for a hat trick." And it, you know,
I've never used that line in my commentary.
But you know what? We just seriously, under Stevie G, what you've got now from a Villa team is a Villa team who are desperate. Every individual player is desperate to perform. It sounds like he's kept quite a lot of distance. He's not one of these arm round managers, Gerrard. He's very much a kind of play for me or you're on the bench. And I feel like you can see it. You can see it on the pitch that every single Villa player at the moment, we haven't had that kind of grit and determination for a while. And so actually, I think, you know, Villa assets have not been something to look at all FPL-wise. But keep an eye on Villa, Stevie G's Villa, because there's a good few potential players in there who could come through good from the new year, I'd say, probably.
Could be a decent replacement for Reguilón, Rich, Matty Cash.
I was about to say Matty Cash.
Poland's Matt Cash.
It's just, it's like you say, that the fixtures maybe aren't that great immediately. You know, they got to go to Anfield this weekend, which is frustrating. But I, as a player, I really like Matty Cash because he's always so far up the other end of the pitch. He should probably get more goals. I think he's only got one goal in two seasons at Villa, hasn't he?
Yeah. Great
I think
goal.
He needs to get more. But no, he looks really good. Polish international.
Yeah.
Matty Cash. Plays with Lewandowski.
I never thought I'd be doing this in FPL this season, but the other day I ran a comparison between Josh King and Cristiano Ronaldo. And you know what? Josh King isn't far behind him in terms of numbers, particularly in the last kind of 5-6 game weeks. Obviously, he scored that hat-trick against Everton, so that might skew things a little bit. But hey, he scored the hat-trick. Why does it matter if it skews things? He might score another hat-trick. So he's really, really excellent value, I think, over the next few game weeks and beyond. Watford, I think, are near the top of the fixture ticker over like the next 8 game weeks. I think they're like second behind Man United for fixtures. Obviously, wow. It's Watford. So, you know, they could lose to anybody and not score. But Josh King is massively favoured under Ranieri, and he's 5.7 million and he's posting really, really good stats. So I can see, you know, he could get close to Ronaldo over the 7-8 game weeks to come if he keeps up his stats. I don't think he necessarily will outscore him, but if your team's set up like mine is, do I really need to rip up the team for Cristiano Ronaldo when I could have Josh King?
Well, that's it. But if you look on the Premier League's overall forward performance of the season, his strike partner, Dennis, is the second best forward in the game points-wise.
Oh, completely. Dennis, another good option, but I'm a stats man and he's overperforming, whereas King isn't. And I think King is the central striker and Dennis is going off to the African Cup of Nations. So King would be my choice out of the two. But yeah, I completely agree. Dennis has looked amazing.
Oh, I was going to bring in Dennis this week. When is the Africa Cup of Nations?
I don't think it's till January, but I think obviously you never want to transfer out down the line, do you? Particularly as we're all going to have to take Salah out of our teams for a couple of games.
I've got to get rid of Mane as well.
Yeah.
You know what? That's worth thinking about now, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. So, Josh King, I think, I mean, hilariously, that's going to be my decision this week because Tony's...
King or Ronaldo.
Yeah, it is, because Tony's out with COVID. It's going to be Josh King or Ronaldo. Yeah, so it's combinations, isn't it? It's like, is a combination of King, Bernardo Silva and Rashford better than Ronaldo, you know, Billy Gilmore and whatever? Do you know what I mean? It's got to be... I've got to look in that respect, but I really, really like Josh King and I think he's going to score...
Less than half the price of Ronaldo.
Exactly. I mean, like... And he, you never know. He might match him.
No, I agree.
Have you guys talked about Rashford?
No, but I'd like to. Go for it.
Yeah, because, you know, in terms of, you know, the 4-2-2-2 that United put out, Rashford and Cristiano up front. And then who was behind it was obviously Fernandes and...
Sancho
behind. I mean, are we going to see Rashford banging him in? He's done it in the past.
I think he's well worth a shout. I mean, Rangnick said after the game that the reason that he played him up top with Ronaldo was because of his like making vertical runs or something like that. He definitely used the word vertical. It sounded clever anyway, because Ralf Rangnick is a clever guy. And what was interesting about that game is that when he took Rashford off, he brought on Anthony Elanga for Rashford, who has got a lot of pace. So that would suggest to me that if he's going to bring on Elanga for Rashford and he brought on Greenwood for Sancho in the number 10 role, I know it's only one game, but that would suggest that Rashford is going to keep his spot up top, because he's the only one that can provide that pace in behind, which Rangnick is obviously liking. So he's an out of position midfielder playing up front for United with amazing fixtures. The fact that
less than 1% selected.
There you go. The trouble is he's not on form. And the safer pick, no, and the safer pick is Ronaldo right now. But I think he's well worth a punt. Like we keep saying, have one or two differentials in there. I think he's well worth a punt, and I'm considering him this week.
There will come a point this season where Rashford has like a purple patch. Yeah, he does well.
Yeah,
he scores a lot of goals. But at the moment, it doesn't look like it's going to be that. But this could be the game week where it just clicks and it happens. You know, Rangnick's have had another week on the training ground with them and another match it was probably going to be the academy or whatever in the week. But, you know, it's still a week with the first team to work on this sort of stuff, work on finishing, work on attacking plays. And, you know, it's worked with Conte at Tottenham over the last few weeks. It'll more than likely work with Rangnick at Manchester United. So take the gamble. We know you love a gamble. Maybe don't captain him, but take the gamble and pick him.
Does Conte still have a quandary, by the way, Rich? That was last week's episode, Luke. We decided that it was Conte's quandary.
Well, he's definitely got one this week, hasn't he, with the COVID situation.
So what, I don't actually know what that is. What do you mean? It looks like it's going to be postponed because COVID going around Tottenham.
Seven first team players have tested positive,
Oh, my God.
Including Son and Lucas Moura, apparently. So I think they'll definitely ask for it to be postponed.
I wonder if they'll postpone their conference, your Europa conference game.
Well, apparently with that, it's not a case-by-case basis. It's if you've got 13 players in your first team, you just have to you have to play it.
Oh, fair enough. It's conference league anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
So dismissive.
I'd love to be in the conference league as well, but you know, whatever.
What do you mean? Do you mean you or Everton?
Well, me and Everton. Well, the Everton match last night, very enjoyable.
Wow, I have to say. That was a bit of a result, wasn't it? You needed that.
Absolute screamer in the last minute. I mean, that is the way to win a game of football. We just don't do like 90th minute winners anymore, Everton. But yeah. Okay, so to finish then, who are we going to captain for game week 16? Let's start with Ben Anderson. Who are you going to captain?
There's a big part of me that wants to get rid of Harry Kane and get rid of Armstrong from Southampton. I've got two free transfers this week. And there's a big part of me that wants to bring in Antonio and King or Dennis and have about 6 million in the bank. But from what you were just saying, I think it does feel wrong not having two premiums. And I don't know if that's just a weird FPL thing, but I think I'm going to have to go Ronaldo and captain Ronaldo and bring in King alongside him.
I think that's a good shout. I think that's a great shout, honestly. It's much better than Kane. Mm-hmm. So I'd definitely bring in Ronaldo. And who are they playing again?
Norwich.
Conceded goals.
Then they got Brentford, then they got Brighton, then Newcastle, then Burnley. It's a great run for United, isn't it, now for the rest of Christmas?
He's the only like attacking option who, for me, you should be focusing on for Manchester United. So captaining him, you know, it's not a no-brainer, but it's a majority brainer.
Yeah, I think it will be a little bit more split this week. I still think Salah will be the overwhelming captain favourite because people are just too scared to go against him. But I don't think it's a bad shout, captain Ronaldo. For me, it's all going to depend on who I bring in. I've got big decision to make, really. If I decide to not bring Ronaldo in, obviously Salah will stay captain. If I do bring Ronaldo in, I think I almost have to captain him because particularly as one of my free transfers will be used to bring in a 4.4 million midfielder who I'm not going to play. Mm. At the moment, I'm leaning more towards keeping my team structure, going without the premium striker and just keeping that captain on Mo Salah. He's performed all season. What's the point in going anywhere different? That's what I'm leaning more towards. But I am very, very tempted by Ronaldo with those fixtures and the new manager bounce. It's the perfect storm for Rangnick, isn't it? We don't play anyone like remotely. I don't think we play anyone in the top four or five or six until Man City in March.
That's bonkers.
The fixtures are that good for United. Yeah. So I think we're all going to be going towards them, but it's just whether to jump on this week or not for me.
I won't be bringing in any Manchester United players, which is infuriating because the only one I want is Ronaldo, and my transfers / team structure, it's completely the way around. All the values in my back five, which will probably be again a back five this game week, which could well end up being a terrible decision once more. Captain's going to be Salah, I think. I'm going to play it safe. I could put it on Mane. This is the longest he's gone all season without a goal, which in my pea-brained mind is a good decision to do because this might be the game where he turns it all around when in reality he's in bad form, so you shouldn't put it on him. So I'll probably go with Mo.
Stevie G knows Anfield, doesn't he? He knows Anfield.
This is the thing. I don't think Villa will make it easy for Liverpool at all, but no. It's Liverpool and they are sensational in attack this season, and I just don't know if anyone can stop them. And if anyone's going to score or be involved in goals, it's going to be Mo Salah in it. I mean, Villa aren't going to keep a clean sheet at Anfield. I can't see it anyway.
No. I think this is the first time. Oh no, because they played Manchester City, didn't they? Steven Gerrard. Gerrard's always in his time in management, very brief time, he's always been the favourite for matches that he's played in. Because you know, Rangers you know, won the league under him and stuff, didn't they? So he's always been the favourite. Now he's not the favourite that often, and it's a completely different mindset you've got to put yourself into. And as a player, he won a lot of things and was always, you know, playing in Liverpool sides that were competing for trophies every season. So if he does the smart thing, he goes to Anfield and he sets up defensively and tries to break away with those fast players that Villa have got. And they've got a lot of fast players, Aston Villa, who can hurt you on the counter-attack, like, you know, Watkins, as we spoke about before, Bailey as well, if he's fit. But if he just goes and plays against Liverpool, they're going to absolutely tear them to shreds because Villa have got worse players than Liverpool. You know, it's all good having desire and hope and optimism, but you've got to use your head a little bit sometimes. And who knows? It could be a very close game or it could be a very open game, is all I'm saying.
I mean, one thing's for sure, Jota is bound to miss a golden chance.
Oh, that miss.
How many times has he done it? Loved it. How many times has Jota done that this season? Like, he needs like five chances to score one or two goals, doesn't he? He's just like so frustrating to own.
Who was it against where he'd done like, he had like, he looked like he was going to blast it in, but he did a couple of step overs and then slid it into the match. I can't remember if it was against Everton or not, but it was a couple of weeks ago and he showed great composure. And then against Wolves, he just smashed it straight at Cody's nuts. Like, it was poor. And that's why I didn't go for Jota this time around, which I regretted a few weeks ago. But no, this is the week of Mane. It's going to happen.
Come on, Mane.
Cool. Good chat, lads. Luke, lovely to have you back.
Thanks, mate.
I guess all that's left to say is good luck in game week 16. Follow us on Twitter at FPL Triple Cap. Join the Discord. It's popping off. And best of luck, everyone, for game week 16. I just said that, but I'll say it again. See ya.
Best of luck for game week 16. Best of luck.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel.
Sound Rebel produced this podcast, and we work with all sorts of personalities to help them engage with their current audiences and to build brand new ones.
We work with actors, football commentators, comedians, personal trainers, radio presenters, hello, reality TV stars, influencers, ultramarathon runners, and even world record holders. We can help you with every aspect of podcast production, from idea development through to distribution to all the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. We make making your podcast easy.
So, if you've got an audience but don't have a podcast, get in touch with us.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and take your place in the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world.